Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Last week, we told you about the serious events unfolding in Iraq, where city after city is under siege by the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, otherwise known as ISIL. This is a splinter group of the Al-Qaeda terrorist group. As of last week, when we interviewed Ben Kalasha, one leader in the local Iraqi Chaldean community, we were hearing that 500,000 people were fleeing from the city of Mosul alone, and many other cities were in danger. Today, my very special guest is another leader in our local Iraqi Chaldean community, Mark Arabo, who is the president and the CEO of the Neighborhood Market Association. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I also have our intern, Trevor Hill, who has been helping us to research the situation in Iraq. Trevor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm going to let Trevor open up with the first question.
What can you tell us about what's happening right now in Iraq?
Well, right now, President Obama sent troops over there to secure the embassy because it's getting worse hour by hour. Families are going from city to city, and they're hoping to just survive and live. There are more and more killings. Images of mass executions are coming out of Tikrit, and once it was home to many Chaldean families. And now Sunnis are actually beginning to fight alongside with ISIS. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because from the onset, the Maliki government, they didn't allow the Ba'ath Party to participate in elections, which caused a deep-rooted resentment between the Shiites and the Sunnis. And for the Chaldean community at large throughout America, this is a living nightmare that won't go away. And we organized as a community, and we did a petition online. We've talked to our members of Congress. We talked to all the delegates in San Diego. We've spoken to our U.S. senators here and in Michigan. And we're doing everything we can. We're talking to the State Department as well. And we spoke to President Obama to say that we need to find a way for UN and NATO to come together and support a mass exodus of Christians and Chaldeans out of Iraq and a safe passage to other countries around the world, because there is no safe haven in Iraq. And no question about it, this is a slow genocide.
This must be absolutely terrifying for the people here in East County who still have family or friends or contacts, and I'd like to hear about that. But first, Mark, I'd like to know, what reaction or response did you get from the elected officials that you've contacted thus far?
Sure. Well, we've had positive reactions from every public official we've spoken to. All the members of Congress in San Diego have been very supportive. They've told us that they're helping any way they can, and if that means bringing some Chaldeans to San Diego, then they're happy to help with that, and they want to elevate the issue as much as they can, and so they've been extremely helpful. We might announce something later this week about what our next steps, but I do want to really say from the Chaldean community, and on behalf of the community, we're really thankful for our sons and daughters in the sense of our soldiers. I want to thank you to all of our soldiers that fought in Iraq. We've made extraordinary sacrifices for that country. Over almost 5,000 lives have been lost, American lives, for a misguided war that, from the onset, was flawed because they never secured the borders, and they invaded Iraq, the 2003 war.
So you're talking about going back to the Bush administration, George W. Bush, and the original invasion of Iraq.
Right, but ultimately, the Chaldean community is so appreciative and so thankful to the American soldiers. And all the Chaldeans that have come to America are in love with America, because America is the best country in the history of the world. And no other country in the world can you have so much opportunity and freedom and you could be whoever you want or do whatever you want, just play by the rules and work hard and study. And that's what we're hoping with this mass exodus. Mm-hmm. When they come to America, they're going to be the finest soldiers, teachers, doctors, lawyers, engineers, good parts of the community, and very patriotic. And
that really is the American dream. And it is. And it's good to hear that there are still immigrants today who are able to fulfill that.
Yeah.
But that said, what are the stories that you're hearing firsthand from inside Iraq right now from your contacts here in the community,
sure.
Mark?
Well, we receive numerous phone calls on a daily basis. One fellow's name is Johnny Mattia. His uncle and his godfather was in Mosul. 6 days ago when they took over Mosul, since then he's lost contact with him and his cousins. So they don't know if they're alive, if they're not. We did a prayer service at our church. They're just telling us that they're having sleepless nights and long days. And this is a nightmare that won't go away. And asking us to help. Previously, Chaldeans would go to Syria and live in Syria and resettle to the States. Mm-hmm. But now Syria is just as bad as Iraq.
Yeah, going through its own civil war. And
so there's civil war in Syria. There's a civil war in Iraq. And there's no safe passage. And so we've been very vocal in saying we think that there should be a safe passage of Chaldeans and Christians all throughout the region to any, not just U.S., but any like-minded nation.
Yeah. For listeners who may not be familiar with the Chaldean culture, by the way, we should mention that the Chaldeans are the descendants of the ancient Babylonians in Iraq. Mm-hmm. They call themselves the first Christians from Mesopotamia, the true cradle of civilization, so to speak.
Right.
Trevor, you have some more questions.
I wanted to know, approximately how many Christian Chaldeans do you think are in Iraq?
The last number we saw is around 450,000.
Wow.
And, prior to the war, 2003, under George Bush, his invasion, we had around 1.2 million.
Wow.
So they've been fleeing the country because without a stable government and without someone looking after you, you can't survive. I do think right now we need to practice soft diplomacy. But I feel that more boots on the ground is not the answer. I think that the U.S. should work with like-minded nations. And the whole world community should come together because this is more than just the Chaldean community in a certain region. This is has world implications on a massive scale. If that region is a tinderbox, and if they keep taking out city by city, the whole world's safety is threatened, and I hope that the world community acts soon.
So this could escalate into another world war, in your view?
I think if they keep marching, if they never know, they might end up targeting Israel. If that happens, then I think we will be that level. We have to make sure that they cannot get a stronghold of Baghdad. Because that's Iraq is an ally to the States, and we don't want our soldiers to die in vain. We've had extraordinary sacrifices,
right,
as Americans, and we've given up our children, our blood. We spent billions of dollars, all that, for a misguided war in 2003 under George Bush for no reason. But now we have to pick up the pieces and push forward.
We should comment on that. I happen to have done an interview with Scott Ritter, who was the UN weapons inspector back at that time, and he was a conservative Republican who had worked in the Reagan administration, and yet he was speaking out at a Democratic convention when I met up with him because he said there were no weapons of mass destruction. He was absolutely certain of it, and he was horrified that his report had been falsified by his superiors to show weapons of mass destruction that did not exist, specifically, he said, so that they could justify an invasion for whatever other ulterior motives, apparently, there were to launch this war, whether it was over oil or who knows. But I think that's a point that's very well worth noting again here,
We're
now reaping the consequences of that decision.
Yeah, and I also say that in 2011, President Maliki, he failed when he didn't do the status of forces agreement. When he didn't provide our U.S. troops immunity, then we had no other choice but to pull the troops out of Iraq. We've had so many extraordinary sacrifices in Iraq, and it's all crumbling within a month.
Yeah, it's astounding to many in the West that these supposedly well-trained security forces crumbled in a day in the case of Mosul, and that a lot of the leaders simply walked off the job and basically let the terrorists have their way. Why do you believe that happened? What are the seeds, other than, you know, the failed war, the war that shouldn't have happened, perhaps to begin with? Is there anything else that could have been done to prevent or foresee this once we were in this situation?
Well, we agree, the community agrees with President Obama when he says that Prime Minister Maliki should be more inclusive in the sense that Sunnis should be part of his government, Chaldeans should be part of his government. And from the onset, when President Bush did not allow the Ba'ath Party to participate in free elections, if you're saying a certain party can't participate in elections, from the onset, you have deep resentment towards the groups. And it's just boiling over until we have today. And so the president has told the world that he wants the Prime Minister Maliki to make sure that he's more inclusive of everyone.
And can you elaborate on what that is, the Ba'ath Party?
Sure. The Ba'ath Party is, Saddam was from the Ba'ath Party, and it's a group in Iraq that are Sunni. So you have all these groups that always debate and try to get to be the next leader. So imagine if you had Republican and Democrats and you say, let's do an election and don't let Republicans participate. What would happen? And that's, it's not exactly the same way, but it's similar to it. But that was a blunder. When they invaded Iraq, they'd never secured the borders, which was a huge blunder. Mm-hmm. They demilitarized the military, which was huge. They didn't have no armed services.
We might add that ISIL, a lot of these terrorists are coming right across the border from Syria, from what we understand.
Exactly. And I think that the United States should not give any more weapons to any countries that are as volatile, because when the Iraqi army right now retreated, basically, ISIS has American weapons now. They have our weapons.
And money. They went in and looted.
$450 million from a bank, I think.
Yeah, almost half a billion dollars that they now have. Some incredible amount of money and weapons and everything else.
I do think, though, last few times that I met with President Obama, speaking about Christians in Iraq, one thing that President Obama just met with was Pope Francis. And Pope Francis asked the president about Christians in specifically Iraq and the Middle East. This is the world's problem right now because it's world ramifications in a major way. I do think if President Obama asked for assistance from Pope Francis to bring everybody together, the Sunnis and the Shiites and Prime Minister Maliki, to do some type of peace, you know, it might be an ideologue in the sense that it's a path less traveled in foreign affairs. But we've had so much blood shed. We've had so much sacrifices. I think we should add, if the president asked Pope Francis to intervene to help. I think right now when Pope Francis met with the Israeli and the Palestinians, that was a huge step forward for the communities. And I think something should be done in the Middle East because there has to be a way where everyone can live in safety. And prayers will keep going to all the families. And we're going to keep doing our petition. We keep talking to members of Congress and our senators and...
Is that petition online, by the way?
It is.
People want to sign it?
Is
there
absolutely
a link? Or if you want to send it to us, we can put it up on our site with this interview for people who may wish to sign it.
I will definitely email it to you. There was a great Chaldean leader in Michigan. His name is Nathan Kaleshu. He started it. He does a great job. Mm-hmm. And we're working with him every day.
And again, for listeners who may have tuned in late, we're speaking with Mark Arabo, the head of the Neighborhood Market Association, about the terrible situation in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And we're discussing a petition that would call for the resettlement of Christians to be provided safe passage out of Iraq. We're seeing genocide going on now with a terrorist group that's taking over many of the cities there.
Yeah.
So we're seeing ISIL targeting Christians. Are they targeting anybody else? Do you know what their end goals are as far as what they're doing in Iraq?
Well, what they've said, based on reports from CNN and other news outlets, is they want to establish Sharia law.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right now, for the Chaldean community, we just want safety. And so we know that Chaldeans could make it anywhere, any country they go to, as long as they got a shot, they give it equal chance, they have safety, they'll work hard, they'll work 20 hours a week, 7 days a week. And every Chaldean that's come to America until now is in love with America and will always be in love with America because it's easy to be in love with America. It's a great country, the best country.
Good to hear.
but like-minded nations, Israel, Australia, Europe, England, United States, we need to help a safe passage of these Christians to other countries.
It sounds like many of these may wind up here in El Cajon or in San Diego, and some of them in El Cajon East County, which has been designated as a refugee resettlement area. We already have, what, 30 or 40,000 Chaldeans or so in the East County, and even more in the San Diego area?
I would say in San Diego area around 70,000. Awesome. In East County, probably around 45,000. And, you know, the federal government, they do give grants for refugees. But I last time I met with Congressman Duncan Hunter, he told me that the previous mayor, Mark Lewis, would never apply for any grants. So I don't know if the city of El Cajon knows.
Why was that? I mean, the refugees will come here anyway if the federal government decides. Yeah. So it's a question of, do you ask for aid from the federal government to help with things like teaching them English, resettling them, getting them job skills, basic living expenses, and so forth?
Yep.
Or do you turn a blind eye to what's happening and do nothing to help these people that are fleeing, probably in some cases with nothing but the clothes on their back?
Right. And I can say that it's the State Department that designated, the Immigration Service, they designated El Cajon as a resettlement area.
So what about the new mayor, Mayor Wells, Bill Wells?
Right.
Have you talked to him about this? Is he willing to apply for some grants? And if so, why not?
The last time I spoke with Bill Wells was when they were able to successfully do a Chaldean American Month in the city of El Cajon for September, which was a huge feat for the community at large. He said he's open to it. So I think that we got to have him and Doug Williford really apply for these grants, because
maybe they need help, a grant writing
possibly
experience
but,
or something.
But they need to take it seriously. And I think they are. They just had a really good festival on Saturday, I believe. You know, there's some things that we would still like to see in El Cajon, but I think we're better now than we were before. And we're moving forward. But obviously, there's still more progress to make.
Yeah.
What would you consider the next logical steps as far as not just securing the safety of the people being persecuted? I know you support an exodus for the Chaldean Christians.
Right.
But what would you consider the next steps as far as securing the safety of the entire region, the stability that's been lost?
You know, I think the UN and NATO need to come together, and the world community needs to say that no country in any area should be taken over by a terrorist group, period. It's a multifaceted problem. It's a multifaceted solution. There's not one. I think President Obama is doing a great job in the sense that he's sending troops over there right now to secure the embassy. Do we have a Navy ship there in case we need to do airstrikes? He wants the Iraqis to secure themselves. He wants Prime Minister Maliki to be more inclusive. And I think you can't have a government in really anywhere in the world if you're not inclusive and be successful. The beauty and the magic of America is everyone's so different, everyone's included. And we agree and disagree. At the end of the day, we're Americans and we live peacefully. And elections happen and we live in safety. And I think that region needs to, you know, the Shiites should bring the Sunnis more and say, you guys should be part of our government. Bring the Chaldeans, bring the Kurds. And let's say, guys, let's do a government for everybody. But it needs to happen if everyone is included in it. But from the beginning of the war, 2003, if President Bush says a certain party can't participate in elections, that's like clapping with one hand. It can't be done.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ. And certainly our hearts go out to the Chaldeans and all of the Iraqi people that are going through such terrible times right now. We appreciate you coming on to talk about this, and we will have a link up there to the petition calling on the president and others to help provide safe passage for Christians out of Iraq right now, in addition to whatever other macro solutions the world stage seeks.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.